Good morning. Welcome to the House Ways and Means Committee. And we're not quite at quorum, but we are going to start with unofficial action. We already have a bill author here. I think we're going to bring Representative Hewitt up to walk through House File 4738. And so welcome to the committee. Thank you, Representative Hewitt, for being here to present your bill. So until we have, I think we're short just one member for quorum. And so once that we have another member arrive, we'll actually take action on your bill. But for now, if you could just please walk through your bill, Representative Hewitt.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, members. It's great to be here. This basically is House File 4738. It's had three committees. Well, this will be the third committee stop. What this is the emergency medical services, where we're making it into an agency from a board. There was an audit done roughly about a little over 18 months ago that really went into the board and how it, how some deficiencies with the board. I've been struggling with this since that audit. What I've done personally is went around the state, talked to providers in their living rooms. I started talking to bases. We also had a task force formed last summer, both bipartisan group, a bipartisan task force, and we were able to really dig into this. And what we found is that Minnesota has to really step up here when it comes to emergency medical services. It's not like on other states. All states are having these problems. This is just what we think is maybe the best pathway towards making it better. We have response time issues around the state. Our agency is somewhat strangled because it's ran by a board mostly built up of the industry. That board meets once a, well, it did meet once a month. For some reason, it went to two every other month now because they felt like they didn't need to meet once a month. So the urgency in this is here. It really needs that. And then the other part of this is that once the agency is formed, we have found that because of the response time issues around the state, primarily in rural Minnesota, Iron Range is a very hot spot. So is the the central part of the state over by Fergus Falls. Hot spots I'm referring to are response time delays. So we could have response time delays up in the Iron Range, maybe 90 minutes, and that's pretty crucial. So what we did is did some research. We've both the senators and I and the other members of this committee decided that maybe we should look at a sprint car model, which is basically an ALS paramedic that is basically, for better words, on patrol, and that they would respond right to the scene versus having volunteers come in from home, get in the ambulance, and then go to the scene. We also, the reason we're saying it should be a paramedic, Dr. Bielman, a trauma surgeon from the university and from North Memorial, has been doing studies recently and looking into this, and we found that early interventions with ALS, which is a paramedic level, actually are much, the outcomes are much better. Not only outcomes do we have better outcomes, but we also have less expenses on the end of rehab and stuff. So that's what we need the $6 million for. That's why we're here in Ways and Means. I stand for questions.
Thank you, Representative Hewitt. Thank you for all your work and traveling all over the state working on this bill. Any discussion to the bill? Member discussion? Seeing none, and I will note that we have quorum, and so we can officially put House File 4738 before the committee. So I move that House File 4738 be placed on the general register. In seeing no discussion, I renew my motion that House File 4738 be placed on the general register. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no. The motion prevails. Thank you, Representative Hewitt.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee.
Yeah, so we're going to revert back to the approval of the minutes from Tuesday, April 30th, 2024. Vice Chair Edelson, can I get a motion for approval?
That is my motion, Madam Chair.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no. The motion prevails and the minutes are approved. So our next agenda item is Senate File 5335, the Human Service Supplemental Budget Bill. So Representative Knorr moves that Senate File 5335 be placed on the general register. And we are going to insert the House language. And Representative Nor moves to delete everything after the enacting clause and insert the language from House File 5280, the first engrossment. Discussion to the motion. All right, seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no. The motion prevails, and we have inserted the House language. So Representative Nor moves the A-19 amendment. To your amendment, Representative Nor.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Good morning. This is a technical amendment. What it does is changes the date for PCA provided by parent or spouse to 10-1-2024. And also deletes new language in Article 5, Section 21, Subdivision 5 and 6, which is already in the bill under line 116.31 to 32 and 116.35 to 36. And it also moves some few sections in the homelessness area to the codified section. Basically, this is a technical fix based on the spreadsheet. Mm-hmm. Madam Chair, that is the technical amendment.
Any discussion to the A-19 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no. The motion prevails and the A-19 amendment has been adopted. To your bill, Representative Moore.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. This is a small budget with a significant impact. This is a continuation of what we did last year, and it's an investment that will help us address some of the key issues in the human services area. This bill invests $49,737,000 in fiscal year 25 and $14,860,000 in fiscal year 26-27. Just wanted to begin by saying thank you to Vice Chair Edelson for her work and also for the task force. This was a huge area. It's especially when the counties who have requested that we address the priority admissions. So this bill basically addresses the 48-hour rule, whereby we are making some changes, expanding access to DCT. And if you look at that budget, we're spending $15 million, approximately close to $15.4 million, and also in details in 26-27 of about $9 million. In that section, Madam Chair and members, we made sure that we kept CARES Carlton open because it was scheduled to be closed based on the information that we were given. So this is a huge win in terms of our investment to address substance use disorder, mental health issues, the civil commitment, the 48-hour rule. And Madam Chair and members, we are also addressing the acute care transition. Unfortunately, because of the shortfall in the budget with the CARE Carlton open, we're investing $843,000. We're also applying for and also implementing the reentry waiver for the pre-release at least 90 days before someone is released. We're investing $4.8 million in fiscal year 25 and $8.3 million in fiscal year 26 and 27 ongoing. Madam Chair and members, we are also creating a human services response contingency account of $2 million, one time only. We are also capturing the disproportionate share program, which will sunset about $1.4 million in fiscal year 25 and $8.9 million in fiscal year 26 and 27. Madam Chair and members, we're also requesting from the federal government health-related social needs 1115 waiver. So we've got one-time investment of $700,000. We're also allowing PCA for parent and spouses to continue, thanks to Chair Ekom, who has really brought this forward during the pandemic. We're continuing that process. It's going to cost us $4.8 million. Members, we're also eliminating parental fees in our system. We eliminated TEFRA and others, so there are some few fees that are still pending, so that will cost us $239,000 and ongoing $478,000. We also are implementing continuous improvement study, which will cost us $600,000. We are also allowing a small pilot program under pediatric hospital discharge, which is $1.3 million. Members, I just wanted to also thank Vice Chair Edelson for her work on the peer recovery. With that change, small changes that we're making, it's $480,000 in fiscal year 25 and $698,000 in fiscal year 26-27. We also have a pilot program for Dakota County Workforce, which is $1.2 million. We're also establishing Office of Homelessness in DHS and also providing a housing support study that will cost us $854 in fiscal year 25 and $822 in fiscal year 26-27. Madam Chair and members, we have the DCT Executive Board, which is established here with one time only, $482,000. We also have community-based entities grants, which is $2.7 million. Madam Chair and members, we are also using the opiate recovery funds to address youth peer recovery pilot program under Hennepin County. We have got a study for the Navigator Access, which is $392,000. We are also trying to solve the challenges with targeted case management through the redesign, which will cost us $380 and $152 fiscal year 26-27. Members also, if you look under the county share of retroactive does not meet medical criteria, which we're going to give Beltrami County $336,000. Last year, we allowed the county's not to pay in the next last year and this year, which is about $13 million we invested last year. Members, we're also investing in moving individuals from the hospital and other areas to their own home. We've got $1.4 million investment there. We're expanding the nursing home program so that we can include other long-term care. And finally, Madam Chair and members, we are capturing administrative underspending for the FTEs of $2.4 million. In a nutshell, that is the bill before us. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Knorr. Any discussion to the bill? Representative Novotny.
Thank you, Chair Olson. Representative Knorr, we're on line 127. We're closing the forensic beds at St. Peter. Why are we doing that? And how much will it cost us to rebuild those when we find out that we need them and don't have them anymore?
Representative Knorr.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. We're not closing the St. Peter's. In fact, we have to, the department does not have the authority to close. The CARES program in St. Peter's is being suspended, and we're repurposing to create forensic mental health, which will create 16 beds. So there's no closure there. It's just a shift. And also prioritizing because of the lack of beds for the mental health, civil commitment. Members, we've got folks who are in jail, and they've got nowhere else to go. We've got also individuals who are stuck in the hospitals, which should not be the place for people with mental health. So this will address the need that exists right now. We're in crisis when it comes to civil commitment. We've got 10 individuals who have been in the hospital for more than 2 years, just waiting to be placed somewhere within the state facility. So this will allow us to be able to expand a little bit, but also to be able to shift some of the resources within the direct care treatment.
Representative Novotny.
Chair Olson, Representative Knorr, I understand that there's a shortage of beds for some things, but this is also, would you agree that the beds at St. Peter in the forensic unit that you're not going to close down, you're going to repurpose, those are highly critical beds, and they're specialized areas that we have to have for people. Been in contact with county officials that need to put people that are in very dire mental conditions, but also very dangerous. And we're going to take those very specific beds away, and the alternative is very expensive placement that the counties end up being responsible for. I think you really need to look at that, and if we're not going to address it policy-wise in this committee, I think we'd try to address that before it comes to the floor.
Representative Norton.
Madam Chair, Representative Buckley, that's exactly what we're doing. We're creating 16 beds for those who are civilly committed in this process. So we are not taking away. This is, right now it provides substance use disorder under the CARES program. So we are repurposing to make sure that we take care of those who are in need, basically the same statement that you just made right now.
Representative Novotny.
I'll just try to make it clear. Apparently, I'm not saying that we don't need substance use disorder treatment. I'm saying that we shouldn't do that at the expense of people that are violently, criminally in need of treatment and placement. Thank you, Chair.
Further discussion? Representative Schumacher.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Chair Knorr for bringing this forward. I just have a few questions this morning. Since I don't serve on the Human Services Committee, I'm a little behind on some of this stuff. And I recall the last time I got to work with you, we were at the end of session last year and locked into a room with a few others. And I think there were a few state troopers outside to make sure we didn't leave. And the conclusion...
Don't say that to everybody.
The conclusion of that meeting, of that process and that negotiation, I remember you continually saying that if people just listened to you in the first place, we could have gotten through this a whole lot faster because you were right from the beginning. And so I appreciated that. And just looking through some of the things that we had decided at that time and some of the things that are in the bill, I was just wondering on the expansion of the of what was the nursing home loan program there, wondering where that came from and how the hearing went or what the hearing was like with that in the Human Services Committee when that was proposed.
Representative Knorr.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Going back to the discussion for the $100 million loan program for the nursing facilities. So to the extent there was $93 million available, the deadline to apply for that was on the 18th of last month. Today we're in probably May 1. So the applications that we have received through the department almost consumes the entire amount of the loan program for the nursing homes. What we're doing in this bill, because there's the cliff on, in 2029, that whereby this program will not continue, we're creating a revolving loan, and hence we're saying that if it's good for the nursing homes, it should be good for assisted living and other facilities, so we're expanding the utilization of that funding, which is created to support the nursing homes, to include long-term care, but also to continue for a long term without having to go back to legislative process and requesting another funding. So this funding will continue for a long time, but we wanted to also add other long-term care facilities to be able to tap into that resources.
Thank you.
Schumacher.
And Madam Chair, was there any testimony on that when the bill was heard?
Representative Knorr.
Madam Chair and members, I've had several conversations with all the stakeholders, even prior to bringing that forward. Initially, if you remember, this was in the original bill. Many people opposed the loan program because they said it does not work. And we're going back to that conversation, but I think that was something that we solved last session. This session, we're trying to make sure that we are allowing other long-term care facilities, assisted living, ICF, you're aware of all different programs that exist that provide support to other long-term care.
Representative Schumacher, we're not going to fully relitigate a hearing that happened,
nope,
but
that
feel
that
was okay, great. So Representative Schumacher.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And the feasibility study for DHS on the fingerprint processing, I am wondering how that is intended to go, if that's going to provide for more reliable sites or just currently with the number of sites they have, how that proposal will work.
Representative Knorr.
Madam Chair, Representative Schumacher, as you're aware of, there's been some significant challenges with the fingerprinting. They're up for renewal in 2026, as I understand. So we wanted to make sure that we get the best services for our constituents. So this is to look into if there are options that we can apply, if there are other directions that we can take to make sure that the services provided by the contracted entities, or even if it becomes a portion of that, needs to be handled in-house. So we're looking to study to figure out how we proceed with that.
Okay. Representative Schumacher.
Thank you, Madam Chair, for that. Two more questions here. I read in the Reformer earlier this week about the Nursing Home Workforce Standards Board and how they voted to have an increase in the rates of nursing home workers with the new minimum wage. And I'm wondering how that gets paid for in this bill or in the future.
Representative Knorr.
Madam Chair, Representative Schumacher, there's nothing in this bill about increases in rates for nursing homes.
Representative Schumacher.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, Representative Knorr, how is that going to work? I mean, is it that this, does the minimum wage go into the next budget, or will that start in this fiscal budget yet?
Representative Knorr.
Madam Chair and members, the standard board is looking into ways to support the workers. And so that was what we passed last year. We haven't seen any report from this the nursing home standards board, so we cannot make a decision based on what is happening outside. So this is going to take some time. If there's any input or information, it's going to be the next legislative session, so this is not included in this bill.
Representative. Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And that was honestly just a question for me. I wasn't sure how that process worked, but from what I understand, whatever they decide to set or whatever report comes back, that'll be dealt with in the next budget. That won't go into effect before the next. Okay. All right. Thank you for that. A final question and then a couple of points here. I just, with the Article 4 part of the bill, the civil commitment piece there, I do remember this in the Health Committee, and we talked a lot about getting the counties on board. And I just wanted to make sure that the language you have, I know it's modified from when we heard it there, but are the counties on board, all the aspects of the different county stakeholders, are they on board with the proposal that's in Article 4?
Representative Knorr.
Madam Chair, members, I think we're creating an executive board where the county will have a seat as a non-voting member. And also we're creating an advisory committee that will allow to support the executive board. So I think that allows us to figure out how we address the separation of direct care treatment from DHS.
Representative Schumacher.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. That's all I had. I just, for today, would recommend that members not support this. I think there's still a few concerns I didn't ask about. All of those concerns today are address all of those concerns with questions today, but there are a few things here yet that we have with this bill. I know it's a tough bill to put together. I know that everyone that comes to you is always saying that with a little bit of money now, it'll save us money in the future, and then you've got to figure out what to believe and what not to believe in those pieces there. And so, but I did want to just list off a few of the pieces that we have heartburn with today, and part of the reason why we'll be voting no. We're seeing changes to assisted living. Again, we saw the licensure piece a few years ago. We see the changes in the rates, the moving of the programs, the DISH program that they are receiving now with some of that, and still the rates that are set for elderly waiver are at the 2017 base rate. And so with all of these changes that have gone on since 2017, thanks to us, we would like to see changes in when that basing happens, to get those dollars current, or the reimbursement rates, or the acknowledgement of the rates of what it cost in 2024 versus continuing to go off a 2017 pace there. We also have concerns with the SUD rate increases that were missed last year in the 3% bump because of the chapter issue and where that could go. I know Representative Baker would be remiss if I didn't mention that the going back on the 2019 agreement on the opioid manufacturing fee sunset is a concern of ours and where that ends up going. And then just overall with some of this, we know that it was a big year last year for what DHS had to do, and it takes time to get that all up and going, and they're struggling to get some of those things done. And here in this bill, again, we have more one-time money going to new projects, and just have concerns with their ability to complete all of that when they're still trying to complete the things from last year. And so with that, Madam Chair, I would recommend a no vote.
Thank you, Representative Schumacher. Further discussion? Seeing none, I'll go to Representative Knorr for final word on your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. If you look, this bill, as I noted, it's a small budget, but it does a huge impact for our seniors, for individuals with disabilities. We're keeping the CARES Carlton open. In fact, I think the issue of the disproportionate share, we increased last year by 45%. 45%. And so I think there's a need to look into what was the projected rate payment. It's 145. Right now they're earning 190 as the base rate for most of them. So I think this is a great bill, and we're ready to serve the needs of Minnesotans with the small budget we have. Madam Chair, I ask for your and members, I ask for your support.
Thank you, Representative Knorr. And with that, Representative Knorr renews his motion that Senate File 5335, as amended, be placed on the General Register. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no.
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 The motion prevails, and House File Senate File 5335, as amended, has been placed on the General Register. That is our last item of business today, and I just want to thank the members from the majority who were here on time to participate and make sure we could take up important legislation like the EMS bill. That I know our state cares deeply about, and I just want to say a debt of gratitude for folks that were here late and still made it here to do the people's work. And with that, we are adjourned.